Today's gospel reading is from Luke chapter 18, and you heard what it said a little bit ago, but I want to back up to chapter 17 because it sets the tone for what Jesus shares with you today. The Pharisees had a question. When will the end come? That's it. They wanted to know when. And you know, throughout the scriptures, it talks about the end times. It's called eschatology, the study of end times. You know about judgment day and things like that. But with Jesus right there, this one who was supposed to be the masterful teacher, you know, and have all the answers, they wanted to know when. And basically, Jesus tells them in summation that, you know, you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars and earthquake and famine and this disaster and that catastrophe. And you're going to hear about people who say, there he is, and he's not there. And look here, and he's not there. In other words, there's going to be all kinds of answers as to when the Son of Man is going to show up. And it's going to be none of those. And that did not sit well. They wanted to know when. In this chapter, the question is, how do we wait? How many of you just love waiting? Right? No, you're Lutheran. We are not patient. Even the most patient of people will give up. How do we wait when we don't know when it's going to happen? How do we persevere? How do we continue faithfully, honorably, with integrity and sincerity and even intensity? How do we stay focused? How do we stay involved in the mission that God has given us when it seems like the end is taking forever? And what makes it hard to wait, as Jesus points out, is injustice. Now, not just simply crying, that's bad enough. But in another place of Scripture, Jesus talks about how, you know, you can get in trouble for doing the right thing. Do you believe that? You can get in trouble for believing and doing the right thing. Isn't it amazing? More trouble can come your way if you do that which is honorable, that which is loving, that which is true, that which is scriptural, because the world around us doesn't want it. Even friends and family sometimes do not want you to do the right thing. And so Jesus tells a story. It is a story. It's not about a particular woman. It's not about a particular woman in a particular town with a particular judge. Okay? He's not naming somebody who's just really dastardly, you know, and wicked. And because of that, it's a story that fits most lives. Not everybody's life, but most lives. In some way, in some kind of shape or form, in some part of our journey, there seems to be an injustice where the world around us does not respond to do what it needs to do. I mean, I won't say lately, because that could be a long topic. Have you ever thought that this world is going nuts? Yeah? Okay? And most of the time when we think that, it's everybody else is going nuts, but not you, right? Just clarify. Okay? It seems like the work ethic has gone down. Honesty is out the window. Integrity seldom exists. Morality is not held up high. And What does that cause? It brings a sense and experiences of injustice into our very personal journey. It would be so nice if people did what they're supposed to do. And the thing is I'm as guilty as everybody else. I did not pick up my clothes when Mom said to pick up my clothes. I did not wash the dishes really, really clean. Sometimes, like, if nobody was watching and it was my turn to wash, I put the dish in the water and handed it to the dryer. No washcloth, no scrubbing. I want it out of the kitchen. Have y'all ever done anything like that? I'm worse than you. Okay? Just clarifying. Do you understand? You know, when it was your turn to mow the lawn, you went as fast as you could, and that meant the blade of the lawnmower kind of skimmed some of those blades of grass, and no wonder the lawn looked like that, and it was wavy, because you had some place to be, something that was important. Or there were chores that you kind of did halfway decent. And picking up your room was throwing things in the closet. Or under your bed. Now, this is just my list. Injustice is not something that is racial. It is not something that is cultural. It is humanity. It is human. It is our sinful nature. And it brings a sense of injustice into parents' lives because of the behavior of the kids, and then the school, the teachers, because of the behavior of the students, you know. And not to get picky, but in the church, because of the behavior of course, the pastor. Do you understand? We have this sense that our life is chaotic. Now, there's a couple responses. One, you can do what the woman did. You could keep crying out, give me justice. And in her case, she went to this judge that didn't care about God and didn't care about people. But in the illustration that Jesus is saying is, you go to your Heavenly Father. And you cry out, God, give me justice. Now, that's what's being modeled and encouraged in the text. In our reality, we know there's two other responses. One is we give up. And that's despair. And the other one is we give up going to God and we take matters into our own hands. Sometimes that's called vengeance. Sometimes it's called escape. It is, those are not identical, but basically, we are going to solve the problem and we're going to make choices to try to find a sense of justice. And sometimes it is just to run away from the world and hide. And sometimes it is to stay in the world, but not engage in a walk of faith. But the heart and the mind is full of despair. When our anxiety level gets so high, when our sense of frustration and impatience reaches its limits, when we start to doubt, and even like the Pharisees, when is he going to come? When is he going to end this all? If I were God, I would have been here last week, you know, and on and on. And we have this idea of what God should do, should have done, could do, and everything else in between. And Jesus teaches us this. And it's the thing I hated my parents for saying it. Life is not fair. Did you hear that growing up? Life is not fair. Yeah. Oh, did that bug me. But what Jesus says is better than that. He teaches us that life is about prayer. It's not about it's not fair, but it's about prayer. Prayer in that our heart and our mind are focused on God, communicating to God, sharing with God, lamenting to God, praising God, honoring God, proclaiming God in a world that wants nothing to do with Him. And it is about prayer holding on by the work of the Spirit, not a work of self, but a work of the Spirit. It is powered by faith. It is the prayer that lifts up the hope of us all through Jesus Christ. When we cry out, "Give us justice," God from the heaven says, "I have." And what did He do? He sent Jesus. Because if we really wanted justice, you and I would be convicted. We go, "Wait a minute, not that kind of justice." You know, I want justice for my neighbors. You know, I want justice for, you know, just the people in Vegas. You know, I want just, pick a group. We all have them, right? Our biases, that these are the unacceptable of the unacceptable. They are the top of the list. And we're waiting for God to get them. But the word crying out for justice is about God's kind of fairness. And God says, "I have been fair. I paid for your sins. I redeemed you. I saved you. I lifted you up. I have a place prepared for you. I have a heavenly home that nothing can take away and nothing can destroy. You want justice? You got it. Now hold on to it." And the way to hold on to that is in and through prayer. Now, prayer is not... Here's the risky part in our world today. When we hear this kind of message, we start to hear my to-do list. What do you have to do tomorrow? "Well, I got to get up, brush my teeth, shower, shave. Oh yeah, I have to pray." Prayer is not about having a to-do list in the sense of law. If you don't pray, you're going to be in trouble. Okay? It's not about the work of man. Prayer is about an expression and by the power of faith of communicating to God. Now see, our challenge is we have this sinful nature, right? Well, most people have a sinful nature, you know. The other people that didn't make it this morning have sinful nature. Okay, y'all are fine. But you understand, we have this sinful nature. And the sinful nature says, "I prayed last week. Nothing changed. I prayed for my brother who I don't like. I prayed for my sister that I can't stand." Of course, I'm speaking metaphorically. Brothers and sisters in Christ that just bug us. You know, I prayed for it, and they're still the same. You know, God, get with the program. I prayed. But prayer is not only about praying that God would help others, but prayer is about right here, that God would help you. To remain true, to remain loving, to remain forgiving, to remain hopeful in the face of the world that just seems to drain us. Prayer is about confessing who is God and acknowledging you aren't. Prayer is about lifting up God's truth in the face of the lies of the world and sometimes our own thinking. Prayer is not about just praying for miracles and seeing if that works. Prayer is about faith expressed and lived. It's not a to-do list. It's a way of which we, who are alive in Christ, we exist. Yes, it says in the Bible, the prayer, using King James, "The prayer of a righteous man availeth much." But there are other Bible passages that speak about how prayer sustains and strengthens and restores, because it is faith in action prayer is not a magic wave of the wand. Prayer is the work of God in here and in here that lifts us up out of despair and knows that through Jesus Christ, we have our justice. And we who are declared righteous in Christ, we want to live by faith in that righteousness. And yes, treat others with justice that we often don't get in return, but it doesn't change who we are and how we live. We do not have to succumb to the ways of the world just because that's the way it's done. When I wanted to do something that my dad knew was pure trouble, he would always say, well, if, and I had friends, Billy, Bobby, Carl, and, you know, Joe and all that, and, you know, if they jumped off a bridge, would you? And I always wanted to say, yes. My dad's 5'8", well, he was, 5'8", 245, size 8, triple E shoes, squares. We called them box. One movement of that hand could really hurt. Do you understand how silly we are? But how precious is the faith that sustains us and points out when we're stupid, when we're foolish, when we're naive. We want justice, but not really. We have justice, and truly. And prayer is a way that God has given us to stay connected to the cross and the empty tomb and the place in heaven. Prayer is a way that has helped us stay connected to our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we do not make the sinful nature choice of despair, but we live by faith in the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, that we live with hope that the world can't take away, and we live with the promises from a God who is true. That's pretty good, isn't it? Amen.